Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe Sheehan.
I don't know if you read what Joe Sheehan wrote.
I did.
Baseball America, SI, and the Joe Sheehan Newsletter.
Into right center, back of the warning track, the wall, it is gone!
He writes what Dan reads.
Reading is good.
Joe Sheehan with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight here on a Tuesday morning. It is Joe Day for us. Of course, Joe Madden was on with Lawrence yesterday. It was Joe Madden's charity golf outing. So the guy gets to change the schedule around some. And Joe Sheehan gets to change the schedule around a little bit, too. We've got him at 11 today. He is at @Joe_Sheehan on Twitter. I'm Connor McKnight. Hub Arkish is in for Dan, but we're still going to assume that Dan is reading everything that Joe writes. Hi, Joe. How are you? Great to talk with you.
Excited to hear the end of Dan's career here. I'm assuming that this is a permanent setup here. We're just going to finally dump that Bernstein guy.
Yep, he is Wally Pipp. He is over the canoe and noodling some muskie or something like that. And I guess you're allowed to do that in Saskatchewan. The rules are pretty loose up there. Joe, I wonder, you know, as you look through the Cubs on the road here, the last couple, they finally squeaked out a road series win against the Pirates. They managed to even one out against the Reds. They still look pretty iffy at the back end of the bullpen. Are you assured that the returned health of guys like Cishek and Kinsler and hopefully Kimbrel, because Joe says he's fine, is that enough for them to hold on in a division that's just been like fingernails the entire season?
It's going to have to be because, like I say, under the new rules, they can't go out and make any moves. I thought that was the interesting thing at the trade deadline. You essentially had the two trade deadlines, the July and the August one, stapled together. So you saw a lot of teams go out and make these trades for relievers that we typically see at the end of August. So I do think that some of the struggles we saw, particularly last week in Pittsburgh, were caused by the lack of depth. The Cubs in Pennsylvania, I should say, there was a three-game stretch, guys. I want to say it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, in which Joe used six different relievers in the ninth inning. And that's the sign of a guy who's just really feeling his way through his bullpen options in the absence of the guys who are supposed to be his eighth and ninth guys. So, his eighth and ninth inning guys. So, yeah, I do expect that the health of Cishek, the health of Kimbrel will help. If nothing else, at least Joe kind of have a set pattern. I think this is a middling bullpen. I don't think it's a good bullpen. I don't think anybody argued that it's good. But when healthy and combined with that offense and combined with a decent rotation, should be enough to win the division. And, you know, and once you get to the playoffs in a short series, anything can happen.
Joe, have you ever seen a serious contending team with this kind of a gap or discrepancy between the way they play at home and the way they do on the road? And if you have you ever seen one that's been able to do anything in the playoffs?
I'm sure I have. I don't have a list of home road splits in front of me, unfortunately. I will say that over a season and over two-thirds of a season, which is what we're talking about here, this kind of home road split isn't unusual. It's not meaningful. It's essentially noise. You've got to look at splits over the course of multiple seasons for home road records to take on any meaning. The Cubs' run differential isn't as extreme as their home road win-loss splits. Some of what we've seen are weeks like last week where, you know, they just lose a bunch of games in the bullpen, and those seem to happen on the road more than at home. But there's no reason to think that a home road record split over 120 games is anything other than noise, and it is not in any way predictive of postseason failure.
Joe, I don't want to rub dirt in anything here, but it does seem more poignant. We talked a little bit about it last week, too. It does seem a little bit more poignant with Albert Almora heading down to AAA now. You have been, I really, honestly, this is not even a thing, but you've been an Albert Almora guy. You changed some. I wonder if you can re-rack kind of what you'd seen from him and whether or not you believe that there are improvements in the future for him, because he's still a young man who could feature in a Cubs outfield.
He has a 275 OBP. I mean, I'm not going to argue with sending down the guy with a 275 OBP. Although it was as much about, you know, Hap came up and hit well. They traded for Castellanos. Definitely a bit of a roster crunch there. But you know, coming into this, just basically, if you look at him coming into the season, he was a career 93 OPS plus guy, a slightly above average offensive player through the age of 24. and a very plus defensive outfielder. He's still a plus defensive outfielder. I've said over and over, I think Kevin Pillar is the comp. Somebody's a right-handed hitter. He's going to have a big platoon split. Is so good defensively that you can bat him seventh or eighth. It's harder in the National League to play a guy like that because you're already playing a pitcher. And most teams, the Cubs are an exception, don't really have much of a bat behind the plate. The Cubs with Contreras can, you know, afford that a little bit more. But obviously, you know, he just didn't hit. He got a better run of playing time this year than he'd gotten in most of his career to date, and he just didn't hit. So I think the demotion was earned, but I'm not completely giving up on the player yet. I still think there's value there. I think that you could – I mean, it's frustrating because if you look at the overall numbers, you see a guy who doesn't have great exit velocity, doesn't hit the ball very hard, and then you'll see him turn around 96. It was in the 10th inning in Milwaukee a couple weeks back. So you know he has that in him. It's just a matter of tapping into it. So, no, I think, you know, it's an additional season of information that tells us that maybe Albert Amor isn't going to be the hitter that I thought he would be. But it's also, you say, well, you know, it's one season versus what he'd done in his career. It'll be very interesting to see what the Cubs do with him going into next season.
Should Cubs fans put any stock, or how much should they put into Addison Russell's work in AAA the last couple of weeks? It had been a good couple of weeks for Addison Russell.
Yeah, I mean, this is another player who, you know, I thought of. Connor, we're talking about baseball here. Can I at least make that explicit?
Oh, absolutely. You know,
there are other reasons that people don't want Addison Russell on the roster, and I understand that. But as a baseball player, you know, still just 25, you know, missed a lot of time last year with injuries and suspensions. I think there's still it's a little bit like Amor, where he's a similar type player. He's a good, potentially a good, but probably not a great hitter. A very plus defensive infielder. He doesn't have the value that he has. He might have in other places because he's a plus defensive shortstop who's playing second base because Javier Baez has emerged as a superstar. I'm not sure the Cubs are ever going to be able to max out his value as a second baseman. But no, I'm encouraged by really the first decent stretch of play that he had in a long time during the motion. I think he can be an asset for this team. Essentially, what the Cubs have done is kind of move the plus defensive non-hitter from center field to shortstop, but there's reason to believe Russell is going to be a better offensive player than Almora has been.
I thought Cole Hamels was the Cubs' best starter until the oblique injury. First start back was encouraging, other than he took 75 pitches, I think, to get through four innings. But now these two horrible starts, he goes tonight. What do you expect, Joe?
I'd like to see them not push him too much, and that's hard. We talked about the bullpen issues. But if Hamels can give you five, pitch into the sixth with a good outing, get him out quickly. Don't let him have a start that he can build on. I agree with you that he'd been their best starter prior to the injury. I think on raw talent, it's either him or Darvish. You know, respect to what Quintana and Hendricks have done this year. When you just talk about still having the raw stuff, it's Darvish and then Hamels for me, the top two in this rotation. Talk about guys who can go out in the playoffs and win you a game just with their arm. Those are the two guys that can do it. So I think Hamels is a guy. Let him go out there, let him have a good short start, and let him try to build on that. But how about with you? I was really impressed with, you know, the way the pitcher that he was at the start of this year. I didn't know that he still had that in him at 35, and it was very encouraging. So we'll see if, you know, he can kind of get back to that level over these next 6 weeks.
So Joe, you just hit a hot button in Chicago. Let's assume that they get to the playoffs, and I'm not talking about a wild card. And because I agree with you, Hamels, Darvish, where does Lester fit in the playoff rotation?
I mean,
that's why it's a hot button.
It's a hard question for me to answer because, as Connor will tell you, I'm a data guy. I'm an analytics guy. I'm not somebody who's going to weight Lester's postseason career all that heavily. I'm going to say, what is he right now? And what he is right now is probably this team's number five starter. Looks like last in the fifth in ERA. He's fourth in FIP ahead of only Darvish, and I don't think you're putting Darvish in the bullpen in the playoffs. It's a really tough spot. I think matchups will matter too. If you're playing a best of right now, the way it sets up, the Dodgers, if the Cubs win the division, they're likely to get the Braves, and the Dodgers would be the second matchup they get. I think against the Dodgers, you can make the case for starting three left-handers, which puts Lester in the rotation. Against the Braves, it's a little more difficult. Albies has a massive right-left split, so you want to avoid lefties. They have Acuna, of course. On the other side, they have Freeman, and if Marquez is healthy, I think that you already know you want to go with Quintana and Hamels. They put Quintana in the bullpen last year, and that's the marginal decision. I think if it comes down to Quintana versus Lester, I think Quintana's the better pitcher, And that's where, you know, is Joe Maddon going to be willing to put Lester in the bullpen? Neither one of these guys is all that, like, strikes you as going to be all that effective out of the bullpen. Sometimes if you have a left-hander who has a low arm angle, you know, kind of thing that produces a high platoon split, that guy will be more valuable out of the bullpen. Neither Lester nor Quintana is that pitcher.
Talking baseball with Joe Sheehan. Follow him on Twitter at @Joe_Sheehan. What has gotten into Jose Quintana over the last month? It has been a stellar run. All of the numbers are great. 26 innings, 33 strikeouts, one damn walk. That's maybe the most impressive part to me. What are you seeing from him?
He's throwing fastball for strikes. I mean, that's, to me, everything Quintana was doing when he was a White Sox. Just, I'm going to get ahead of you. We know the fly balls are going to be there. The fly balls are going to turn into home runs. But if he's getting ahead of you, he's got more opportunity to get the swing and miss later in the count. I love the fact that he's attacking hitters in a way that we hadn't seen from him, and really since he came since he went across town to the Cubs. This is essentially the guy, if you account for the fact that the baseballs change, fly balls go out of the yard more, this is the guy who was on the cereal box. This is the guy you thought you were trading for 2 years ago. So I think it's been really fantastic. This is, again, this other than Darvish at his best, this is not a rotation that has overpowering stuff. You look at, you know, the Nationals with Strasburg and Scherzer and the things they can do with the baseball. You look at some of the other rotations around the league. This is a rotation that really has to throw strikes, get ahead, miss bats with breaking stuff later in the count. And with the improvement of Quintana and Darvish throwing those first pitch strikes, it's been a real game for this rotation.
Joe, I'm going to ask you a question from a texter, in part because it's a good question, and in part because I'm a huge Davey Martinez fan, and I'm kind of glad to see what's going on. What's happened in Washington? What's going on with this team all of a sudden?
Well, the core talent's taken over. I mean, I had the Nationals winning one of the wild card spots at the start of the year, and it was largely because you look at the first six or seven roster spots for every team. The Nationals are right there with any team you can name, with Scherzer, Strasburg, Rendon, Soto, Turner, Doolittle. And the offense, you know, Scherzer's been out. Strasburg's having, you know, one of the better years of his career. Corbin, I didn't like that signing. That's turned out well. So even with the bullpen being the Nationals' bullpen that it's been pretty much since they moved to Washington, it feels like, the offense has just been so good. You've had Turner coming off the DL and playing very well. Rendon would be an MVP candidate in a league that didn't have Bellinger and Yelich. Victor Robles. Victor Robles, not to circle everything back to Albert Almora, but this is the guy I thought Almora could be, where he's one of the best defensive center fielders in the game, a 250 hitter who Almora was never going to steal bags, but, you know, Robles has 40 extra base hits. He's been a fantastic player at 22. And, of course, Juan Soto, who, if Soto was a rookie, we'd be talking about him every day. But he's a sophomore, so it's almost like we forget about him, even though he's one of the best 20-year-old hitters in baseball history. So that core talent hub, to me, has really been the key for them. They're going to get Scherzer back this week. That'll only add to it. Like pretty much every single National League contender, when they go to the bullpen, we're holding our breath. The National League playoffs are going to average about 4.5 hours a game. I love baseball, but I'm really not looking forward to a whole month of watching the Cubs, Dodgers, Braves, and Nationals bullpens go at it.
Joe, over on the South Side, White Sox baseball has been a mix of checking out Bill Walton doing play-by-play / telling stories / talking about weed on broadcasts to watching Luis Robert highlights at the Charlotte level. At least that's kind of what it's been for me. For you, when you look through, when you thumb through the White Sox, you know, yearbook at the end of the season, what players' end-of-year numbers will speak loudest to you in the 2019 year?
Well, we certainly saw the upside of Tim Anderson, right?
Yeah.
Even though he's still not he still 9-10 times this year. We've seen what a guy like that can do with those bats and ball skills, with the speed that he possesses. This is kind of a peak season for him. He's 26. This is probably the best you could hope for him. But, you know, when he went out, a shortstop going out and hitting .330, like, that would have been a superstar, you know, 15, 20 years ago. This is basically a peak Sean Dunston season. But, of course, we look at players differently now. The OBP matters. His defense doesn't show up so well, but I think he's going to jump out at me. I think you look at the development of Gio. I mean, that's not really a great, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but him taking that step forward. We saw some of the players who 2 years ago we might have said, this is going to be the core of the next good White Sox team, finally look like the core of the next good White Sox team. He's hurt now, but Yoan Moncada, the walk rate, the power, that's all going to be there. We'll see what this team does in the offseason, but like you start to see, okay, what, as I mentioned earlier, cores. with the Nationals. When the White Sox make a push, and in this division, it could come as easily as early as next season.
Yep.
Who are going to be the leaders of that push? And I think those guys emerge this year. We'll see what happens next year with Robert and Kopech coming back, and obviously Andrew Putnam's not going to make the majors. What was the first round pick's name?
Madrigal was 2 years ago. It's Andrew Vaughn.
Vaughn. Putnam's the golfer. I got golf in the brain. The core is starting to emerge. And like I say, because it's the AL Central, because there's only three teams next year, the Twins and the Indians, you would project to be good at all, you could take that leap next year. I want to know, and Rick Hahn did a big interview. I saw clips of it online. I want to see the front office believe in this core as much as I do, to say, hey, look, this is a core that can win next year. Let's put some stars around it.
So, you know, Joe, that's the big question for me. I love the job Rick Hahn has done with this, and I think they're definitely going in the right direction. But you're going to have Kopech, Rodon, Dunning. They're all coming back off arm surgeries. If you believe it's 20, what do you do with this pitching? You can't just count on all those guys, can you?
No, you've got to go out and get a 32-star, 200-inning guy, and the guy this year is Gerrit Cole. And there are going to be 12 teams trying to sign Gerrit Cole. Honest, I mean, 12 might be the maximum because 18 teams are tanking. But you've got to go out and that's the guy you need. There's just no two ways about it. That's the guy who elevates you, in part because, like, Rendon will be the other top free agent, but make the case that Moncada is going to be our third baseman. Rendon's not a great fit. You look at next year's payroll, it's incredibly low. Even if you retain Bobby Abreu, even if you go out and sign some of these guys to longer-term deals, you're going to have plenty of room to add a $30 million a year starting pitcher. And he's the one essential piece. I think Cole is a 5-win upgrade over the guys who might start in that spot. And, Hub, you make a great point. He enables you to pace Kopech and Rodon and Dunning properly next year. You don't have to rush them back in May if they're not ready. You can take your time bringing them back, hoping to have a rotation with those guys in the second half.
So that means, Joe, that I can go ahead and put your name with mine on the side of the list that would be pretty deflated if and when the White Sox bring back Ivan Nova as the guy who's going to take those innings, despite the fact he's got a 2 ERA since July 7.
Well, I mean, and some of that is just luck. If you look at the underlying numbers, Jeff Zimmerman had a great tweet the other day kind of pointing out that his xFIP and his other stuff just isn't very good. But if you want to sign Nova to a 2-year, $14 million deal to be your fifth starter, fine. And again, I make the point, if you look at next year's projected payroll, even if you don't want to give the White Sox full credit for playing in Chicago, if you want to give them 40% of the market or 38% of the market, their payroll next year has room to add a bunch of guys. So retain Nova at 2-14, absolutely. But you need a number one. You've got to be able to go out and say, we're going to go into next year with Cole, Giolito, Lopez, who, I got to tell you, I didn't think he was a starter. He's a credible back-end starter. Not great, but he needs the innings. Hopefully, Stevenson's better next year. But you need that one guy at the top of the rotation, the 32 and 200, the Gerrit Cole type. That's the one thing this team that would take this team next year from, they're a sleeper, to, okay, now we can talk about them in the same vein as the Indians and Twins.
Joe, appreciate you as always. Have a great rest of the week.
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
It's Joe Sheehan at Joe_Sheehan on Twitter.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.